Begin the current tab, Mesechtas Babakama Daf Lamates. Begin 2 lines down for the top of the Amud. Where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnayos of this Perek, discussing variations in the Halacha of Shur Shenagach of the Mazik of Karen, regarding when one person's Shur gores another person's Shur, although generally the first few times are Tam, Chatzi Nezik, and then it becomes a Mu'ud, becomes Nezik Shalom. There are differences in Halacha when it's different types of variations. So the Mishnah explains, Shur Shel Pikyach, regarding the ox of a normal person, a healthy, competent person, shenagach shur shel cheresh shayit b'katan, that a gor is even, let's say, the ox of a deaf mute or mentally deranged or minor, so chayiv, so he's liable, as any person has to watch his ox. Now, but the other way around, b'shel cheresh shayit b'katan, but if the ox of a deaf mute or a minor or a mentally deranged person, where these are always individuals that are exempt because there's no liability for them, they don't have das. So moreover, shenagach shur shel pikach, if their ox gores the ox of a mentally sane person, pater, they're going to be exempt. And that's because they have no liability, they have no responsibility in halacha. Now, moreover, Rashi explains that the Gemara explained to us that, although as we'll shortly see the next halacha that the Mishnah is going to quote, that so although they're not responsible because a minor, what could he do? What could a cheresh to what could a shayit do? What's called pigiyas in ra, but the courts, however, appoint generally an apotropos, a caretaker, to watch over their stuff and hence have liability for their oxen. However, regarding the halacha of a tam, which is what we're discussing, to collect from the body of the ox, which is where a tam could only be collected from, for that halacha we do not appoint an apotropos, and that's why if their ox, as a tam, gores the ox of another person, they're going to be exempt. But however, as we'll shortly see, the next halacha the Mishnah is going to quote by the damages of a shur hamuid, regarding that area of halacha, the bezdin, the courts do appoint an apotropos, a caretaker of the shur of the orphans, so that he should stand in to be like the owner, and that will fulfill the halacha of v'huid b'alav. And then, yes, when the ox gores as a muid, then the shur, the owner of the pekeach who has his ox that was gored, will collect from the orphans or the cheresh or the shaita from their estate. But regarding the halacha of tam, that's the halacha our Mishnah is opening up with, where there the collection is only from the body of the ox itself, and that is a movable item. For that halacha, we do not appoint an apotropos, a caretaker, to take over the affairs of these ketanim, of these minors. As the Gemara says in the beginning, in the first paragraph of Yudalam Abayz, where it teaches that the courts are not, they don't get involved regarding the properties that are movable items, like a shur of the orphans, only something that has a chrayis like land. And there, the Gemara there explains is talking about the halacha of Yisayim, where it defines the wording of the Mishnah, opening up this Masechta of Shavu Kesef, of what's worth money. That's where Nizakin are collected from, only from karka, from land, but from a movable item, a talent like what we're discussing over here from a shur. There, the courts do not get involved, and therefore they don't appoint an apotropos, and hence, therefore, the cheresh shaita and the katan, which we're isolating regarding, although we generally appoint an apotropos, we're not going to, and therefore there's no collection from the cheresh shaita v'katan. Now, moving on, the Mishnah tells us, shur shel cheresh shaita v'katan shenagach. This, again, the ox of the deaf mute, or the mentally deranged, or the minor, which gores, says the Mishnah, bezdin mamidin lehem apotropos. The courts appoint a caretaker, umeidin lehem b'fnei apotropos, and then the testimony is said in front of someone that does have das, does have intellect, which is the caretaker. Now, the assumption of the Gemara originally is that when the Mishnah is saying that they testify, whoever it was that saw about the damages of the ox of the cheresh shayit v'katan in front of the caretaker, it's regarding the collection of the chatzi nezek of a tam, which that simply contradicts what we just said before. And the Gemara will address that, where we just said that when the cheresh shayit v'katan gores is pater. How could it say pater if you appoint an apotropos? Hence, there is v'huid b'balav, there is the regular liability of a shur shenagach. Now, regarding this, that there's the testimony, is that it's after 3 times that a testimony is b'huad b'balav, then the shur becomes a shur hamu'ud, and then that is a halacha that definitely applies to a cheresh shayit v'katan, where since there's an apotropos, then the ox is going to have to pay, the owner is going to have to pay, the apotropos is taking care of, he'll have to pay nezik shalom, the ox of the cheresh shayit v'katan has gored. Now, moving on, the Mishnah says, let's say nispakeach hacheresh, let's say the deaf mute gets his faculties of speech and sound back. Or nishtafa hashaita, or the mentally deranged becomes mentally sane. Or vehigdala katan, or the minor now becomes an adult. So the halacha is, Chazal Tamus Divrei Meir. Meir holds that now, although it had become a mu'ed in the capacity of the caretaker, the apotropos, who he was warned three times and it became a mu'ed, now that what, as the Gemara will explain, is the concept called Rishus Mishana of a mu'ed. When you have a Shur HaMu'ed that leaves the domain of one owner and goes into the domain of another owner, that change of ownership changes its status of a mu'ed. Although it was a mu'ed, it was normal for this animal to do it, that was only under this owner. Now that it changed owners, it now reverts back to its original status of not goring and becomes back a tam. So here we're, although up until now there was one, meaning the apotropos was taking care of it, now that he's sane, and now that he's a bekeach, and now that he's an adult, he takes over the ownership, the original owner, now it goes back to its status of a tam. That's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yisrael, he disagrees, he says, no, harei b'chazkasa, it maintains its chazaka, its default position, which up until now it had established that it's a shur hamu'ed, even if it changed ownership, meaning it went from the apotropos back to the katan, who now is an adult, or bekeach, or now he's someone that's mentally sane, it still maintains, it's still going to be considered shor hamu'ed and will have to pay nezek shalom the next time it gores. Now the Mishnah concludes, shoru tzadin, an ox that was designated for goring, which they would teach the ox how to fight in the arena and to gore, in the chayv misa, such an ox, if it gores and it kills, it's not going to be liable for death. Shneva, because it says there in the pasuk in Shmos Chaf Aleph Chaf Ches, it says that if an ox will gore a man or a woman and that individual will die, so the ox has to get stoned, and that's the halacha. Now, says the Mishnah, it says ki, it says that when the ox will gore, meaning he will gore, not that they will make him gore. I mean to say, it's only because the animal did it of its own volition. But if they made it because they trained it and they forced it to do that, then that doesn't fulfill the halacha of sakali sakal ashar, and therefore it's not going to get stoned. Now the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to, hagufa kasha. There seems to be an internal contradiction in the halacha of our Mishnah. Amrit shereshal chereshay debekot and shenogach shereshal bekiach pato. You open up in the resha that you said that if the ox of a deaf mute or a mentally deranged or a minor gores the ox of a regular person, so the chereshay debekot is going to be pato. Alma, obviously you see that ein mamidin apotropos letam, that you do not appoint a caretaker for the sher tam of a cher shayt bekatan, that the apotropos should be in the place of like the owners to fulfill the halacha of a huid bebalav, that you were warned the owners that your ox is goring, for that you don't appoint an apotropos for the purposes of ligvais to collect the halacha of chatzi nezek migufay from the body of the sher tam. Obviously you don't, meaning because if you did, then they wouldn't be exempt. They would have to be chatzin nezek. Obviously there are no apotropos, no adult there in the picture. Only people that have no das. They're not responsible for what they do or for what their animals do, and that's why they're going to be potter. Aim is safe, but then look at the next part, the next halacha the Mishnah mentions. It says, Sher shel chereshay debekotin shenogach, if the ox of a chereshay debekotin gores, said the Mishnah, Bezdin mamidin lehen apotropos, the courts do appoint an apotropos, and if they gore, so the testimony is said in front of the apotropos. Says the Gemara, almost obviously you see, mamidlem apotropos, that you do appoint the apotropos, letam, for the animal in its first few times, ligvis magufa, to collect from its body, because that's what the Mishnah is saying, that you do appoint, and seemingly that's for all halachic purposes. So Amar Rav, Rav says, that no, hachi getani. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Regarding the ox of a chershad of a cotton that gores, if it has been established that this is a dangerous ox, this is an ox that gores, so yes, generally we do not appoint for the tam because it's movable items. We don't collect from the shur tam migufoy because you don't collect from movable items of yisayimim from people that are not competent adults. Now, however, what the Mishnah then continued in the Sefer to say, but if let's say you see that this is an animal that's a goring type of an animal, then ma'midlem apotropos, then we do appoint an apotropos, a caretaker, and then a ma'idlem of an apotropos, and then they say testimony in front of the apotropos, not to collect the chatzi nezek megufoy. You're right. For the first three times that it gores, there is no collection that's happening from the assignment. But it's however, umeshvin leho mu'id, but then once we make an apotropos, and then, as Taisa explains, then it gores three times, and then it becomes a mu'id, that's the chihad benogach, that's when now it goes and it gores again, is l'shalem aliyah, now you're going to collect from the finest of the estate, because now there is an apotropos, there is a vahud bebalav, there is a fulfillment of the obligations of like a regular person, because the apotropos, who's an adult, is standing in the place of the bialim. And it's regarding that that you make an apotropos. But not regarding megufay, regarding the first few times, there is no collection, because that's megufay, and there's no collection from yisaimim, from the movable items. Now, so the Gemara asks, however, ma'aliyas ma, so this that you explain, that it's only regarding a mu'id status, that that's where you make apotropos and you collect from, then you collect ma'aliyas, from who is aliyah? Who is the collection happening from? So the Gemara says, actually, ma'chleikis. Rabbi Yechon Amar says, ma'aliyas yisaimim. It's from the best of the orphans, meaning we're going to collect from them. Rabbi Yisrael Bachanina, he says, Malis apotropos, from the best of the apotropos, or the caretaker, meaning you're taking the place. If it was the assignment, we wouldn't collect from them. You're taking the place of the ownership. You took the job, that now the ox scored. It was a negligence on your part. So the collection is from you. Now, the Gemara asks, did Rabbi Yechon really say this, that the collection is going to be from the orphans? But Va'am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ravasi, he says, Ein is kakin, the courts do not get involved. Lenichse yisayim, to the properties of orphans, to collect anything from them, even a document that their father had written that he's responsible for. And the reason for this is, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Erichin, that orphans are not obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs. They're minors until they become an adult, and then the person can go ahead and collect from them. Now, actually, the Gemara asks many different questions that seem to indicate that we do collect from orphans, and the Gemara explains that's only, as we'll shortly see, the one exception is when it's a document that has ribis, that there's interest in the paying and the losing lot, the estate of the orphans. That's the only time the courts will get involved and collect from them, that they don't have to continue paying, as Ravasi says, elam kein ribis oichel espan. That's only if that interest is eating away at the estate of the orphans, where their father had borrowed from a non-Jew with interest. So we're concerned for the loss of the orphans, that's where the courts will sell the properties from the orphans and then pay up that debt. But in general, we don't collect from the orphans, from Metaltman. Now, the Rabbi Yechonin Omer, and Rabbi Yechonin agrees to this concept, he just makes one addendum. He says, Oy l'shtar sheyesh b'ribis, that you're right, we don't collect from the orphans at all from their property because there's no responsibility. But it's as Rav Asi had said, either for a document that has interest, or he adds on, l'ksubas isha, or to pay up the woman's ksuba, the document of the woman, of the widow, is for her marriage document, mishum mizayni. That's because as long as they don't pay up her ksuba, she's going to be fed off the estate, which is that's the halacha, so it's worth it for the courts to get involved to save money for the orphans to pay up the ksuba. But in general, Rabbi Yechonon agrees that we don't collect from the yisaimim. So how could Rabbi Yechon have been the one that says, Ma'aliyas Yisayim, that where we're going to collect from when we're appointing the apotropos, as we mean from the orphans, he himself says elsewhere that we don't collect from Yisayim at all. So how could he be of the opinion that we're going to collect now after it becomes a mu'ud and appointing the apotropos to collect from the orphans when we don't collect from them? So that the Gemara says, Epoch, you're right, you have to turn it around. Actually, it was Rabbi Yechon, the Omer Ma'aliyas Apotropos. It was Rabbi Yechon that said that you collect from the fineness of the apotropos. And it was Rabbi Yisrael Bachanina Amar Ma'aliyas Yisayim. It was he who said that you collect from the fineness of the orphans. No. On this answer, the Gemara asks, however, Amar Rava says, from the kasha Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yechon, because you have a contradiction in Rabbi Yechon's opinion. So that's why you have to switch it around. And now you're not saying any more Rabbi Yechon that says you collect from the best of the Yisayim. Rather, it's Rabbi Yisrael Bachanina. So, Mashvas Lila Rabbi Yisrael Bachanina Tainas. And now you're going to make the other opinion into someone that made a mistake, that he's the one that says you collect from the Yisayim. But Rabbi Yisrael Bachanina Dayanahu, he's a judge, v'nachas lo'um k'dedin, and he gets to the depth of the judgment of the law, and therefore he wouldn't have made that mistake to say that we're nizkak to the nechasim of Yisrael. We know we're not. We don't go ahead and collect from them. So how could it be that he is that opinion that says that we're going to make it into a mu'id and then collect from the aliyah? Whose aliyah? It's going to be from the orphans, when we don't collect from the orphans. So ela la'ilam la'itepach. Rather, says Rava, that you don't have to switch around the attribution of the opinions. And it was Rabbi Yechonon that said that you're going to collect from the aliyas yisaimim. But didn't we say you don't collect from orphans? Says the Gemara, umazik shani, but regarding to damages when their ox gores, that's different. There Rabbi Yechonon omem aliyas yisaimim, there he says that they'll collect from the best of the orphans. Now the reason is, the Amrit Malis Abatrapis, because if you're going to say that who's the collection then from? It's from the best of the caretakers. So then as the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis, Mimamni v'loy avdi, then they're going to refuse it, and they're not going to take the job of being the caretaker. Why should I go ahead and do a favor, do a job, when if a gores is going to be my shirt off my back, I'm going to have to pay. No one's going to want to take that job. And since we need for the protection of the orphans a caretaker, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. In this case, you're right, we will collect from the orphans themselves and not from the caretakers. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Chaninama, he says, no. Malias apotropos, we're going to collect from the best of the apotropos, because ultimately, why did the ox gore? Isn't he the caretaker? He's supposed to watch it. Obviously, he wasn't such a good watchman. He didn't do such a good job. So it's his negligence. He's going to have to pay. But, then, however, the caretaker will go back and collect from the orphans when they become adults. Not when they're minors, because again, we don't collect from them when they're minors. But when they become adults, then he could go ahead and get compensated for what he had to pay out. And the reason being is because if not, even he would agree that no caretaker would take the job. It's just that initially, the collection is not done from the orphans themselves. Rather, according to Rabbi Yisrael Chanin, it's done from the apotropos. And only then, later, when they become adults, could he collect what he had paid out for the damage that it had caused to other people's oxen. Now, the Gemara continues with this topic of the Mishnah, that the Gemara says, "Umamidin lehen apotropin letam, ligvis megufay." Regarding this halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah, as we explained the Mishnah, regarding that we appoint apotropin, that we say we don't. In the halacha of the Mishnah, we described that there seemingly was a contradiction. So we said that, yes, we do not appoint apotropis to collect from the body of the animal, of the shertam itself, because that we don't collect from yisayim, from the movable items. That halacha is actually, says the Gemara Tanoi, it's actually Machlokes Tanoim. There is an opinion that holds that we do appoint an apotropos even to collect from the shur tam of the chereshet v'katan, to collect migufay of the body itself. The time like Linda Brysa. Shur shen escharshu ba'olov. Regarding an ox, that its owners became deaf-mutes, or v'shenishtatu ba'olov, or the owners became mentally deranged, or v'shehochu ba'olov in the b'nin sayam, or its owners went overseas. In other words, there was no competent person watching this ox. So, Yehuda ben Nekuso Amar Sumchas, he says the name of Sumchas, harehu b'tamuset. So that ox maintains its status of tam, of being a tam, until testimony is said in front of the owners. Now, but when it's a cheresh, or when the owners are shaito, or when they're not here, so there's no testimony being said in front of the owners, and therefore it maintains its status of a tam. Because it has to have the word bevel of three times to become a mu'ud. They say, no. Says what we do is we appoint a caretaker, and then you say testimony in front of the caretaker, and that's how it can become a shur hamud. Now it continues the braisa, nispakech acheresh. Let's say the deaf mute became, I got all the faculties back, and the shtapa ashaita, or the mentally deranged, became sane, or the higla kadin, or the minor became an adult, or uvo ba'al of the medin sayam, or the owner comes back from overseas. So Yehuda ben Nekuza Amr Sumchas, he says name of Sumchas, so Chazal Tamusai. So now it comes back to its status of being a Tam, as the Gemara will explain, because it changed domains, which the Gemara will explain what's talking about. Didn't Yehuda ben Nekuza say in the same of Sumchas that it always maintains its status of Tam? He didn't say you make an Abitrapus, so it never became a Mu'ud. So what would he be saying that when they come back, or they become saying that then they come back to the status of Tam? So the Gemara will address that. So he says that it comes back to its status of Tamus. So now that the original owner is back, either because it became sane or became back from overseas, so it went back to Tam, and it only will come back a mood when the owner is now warned three times and as it gores, and then it becomes a mood. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael says, no, it maintains its original status of a mood, even though it switched gears, it switched from the apotropos to the katan who became an adult, or the owners that came back overseas. Either way, it doesn't make a difference. It will still maintain its status of a mu'ud. Now, the Gemara explains, Amru, they said, Mai harehu b'tamusa deka'amas sumchas. What does this mean when, in the first halacha, that sumchas said that when you have an owner that's not around, either because physically not around or because mentally not around, that it retains its status of Thomas, what did he mean by that? As Igmar explains, if it was that he held that even though it gores three times, that which generally the halacha is, it pays like a mu'ud when it from aliyah, from its finest nezik shalom, when it became a mu'ud, on that he's saying, no, it doesn't become a mu'ud at all, because there's no owner over here. On that, that's what this simple translation would sound like. And that the Gemara asked, but Hamadiktani Sefer, but from the next halacha that the Mishnah said, that the Braisa said, regarding when the Cheresh is Nispakeach, when the original owner comes back, as we alluded to this, so Simcha says, so Chazal Tamusai, oh, since he holds Rishus Mishan, he holds that the change of domain changes it from its status of Mu'ud back down to Tam again, so it comes back to Tam, Machlau, but the inference is that means to say that originally, when he was away, either because he was a katan or he was a mentally deranged or whatever the case was, de'ayaya, that it could become a mu'ud. And it's just saying that when he comes back, that it goes back to Thomas. So how can you say before that there's no mu'ud at all? It's elamai, hareu b'tamusai. So what does it then mean in the ratio when it says he maintains tam? Didn't you say that it does become a mu'ud? Rather, says the Gemara, harehu b'tmimusai. What it must mean to say is not bitamusa as we thought to translate it, that the term of like tam, that it maintains the status of tam, it's always going to be like a tam no matter how many times you warn because there's no one to warn. Rather, it means to say that it maintains whole, meaning to say that the animal itself will always be whole, that you do not collect from the gorings of Thomas, which the collection, as we know, is always only from the body of the animal. You will not collect those collections from the animal itself. The reason being is because the lemechasrin le, we do not take away, we do not collect from the animal. What do you see from that? Alma in mamid napatrapis letam ligvis magufa. We see that Sumchas holds that we do not appoint an apatrapis. We do, obviously we do, because that's how it becomes a mu'ud. And that's why when the owner comes back, it will say that although it became a mu'ud through the apatrapis, it'll go back, it'll revert back to its status of tam, but that's only regarding becoming a mu'ud. That's like, as we'd explained the halacha of our Mishnah, that's like the Shita of Simchas. But regarding collecting from the body of the shared tam for the first few times, that we don't appoint apatrapis for, that's like the halacha of our Mishnah. But, as we said, it's a machlikas tanoim. The sages say they disagree. Their words are, on this halacha of Simchas, they say, mamidin len apatrapis. Regarding what you said, we do not appoint apatrapis, which is regarding collecting from the body of the animal, they say we do appoint apatrapis. And the testimony said in front of the apotropos, almost that we see, mamid apotropos latam ligvis maguva, that they hold that we do appoint apotropos to collect from the body of the shar tam, to collect from it itself. Whereas, although generally we said that you do not usually collect from the items of the orphans, in this case it's different, and they hold that you appoint an apotropos even ligvis maguva. Now the Gemara says, the Seifa b'maikem efegi. Now regarding the next case of the Braisa, when they said regarding if the Cheresh now becomes nispakeach, or the Shaita now becomes mentally sane, or they come back, maikem efegi. Regarding that halacha, what do they disagree if it goes to Tam or it maintains its chazaka as a mud? So the Gemara says, Rishus Mishana Ikebeinayu, the difference between them is this halacha of when it changes domains, where it leaves the domain of the apotropis and it goes back to the domain of the owners, because now they're back and now they're sane, where does it change from its status of mu'ud back to tam? That's their machlekes. Sumcha sav rishus mishan. He holds that the change of domain changes it goes back, as he said, chazal l'tam musay. Rabbi Yisi sav rishus ein mishan. He holds, no, the change of domain doesn't make a difference. The animal already established that it's a shar mu'ud. Who cares if it's this owner or in that person's domain? And therefore he says it retains its chazaka of being a shar mu'ud. So again, there's two different machlekes that they're having relating to the two halachas of our Mishnah, and therefore we see that the halacha of appointing apotropos latam ligvis magufa, which the Tana of our Mishnah says that we don't, and that we see it's a machlekes tanoim if we do or we don't. But Emun agrees that we do appoint apotropos for it to become a shor hamud. Now the Gemara says Tanabon, relating to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following braisa: shor cher shayt bekatan shenagach, regarding the ox of a cher shayt bekatan that gores. Rabbi Yaakov Misham Chatzin Nezik. Rabbi Yaakov pays Chatzin Nezik. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Yaakov, my ability, what did Rabbi Yaakov do wrong? What does it mean when their ox gores, Rabbi Yaakov has to pay Chatzin Nezik? So the Gemara says, no, Eleimer, rather say, Rabbi Yaakov Eimer, he says Misham Chatzin Nezik. So then they have to pay half the damages. Now the Gemara asks, B'may Eskinan, regarding what is this Braisa, this halacha of Rabbi Yaakov talking about, that Rabbi Yaakov specified and had to say that they pay Chatzin Nezik, and he didn't just say Rabbi Yaakov Mechayev, that he holds that they're going to be liable. As the Gemara explains, Ibatam, if the case is talking about that it's a Shur Tam, well, Pshita, it's pretty obvious that it's Chatzin Nezik. The Kula Amenami Chatzin Nezik with the Misham, everybody has to pay half the damages when it's a Shur Tam. Why say that the Cheresh, that the Shur of a Cheresh Shait B'Katan, that if you're saying they're liable and it's Toma Shur Tam, obviously we know it's going to be Chatzin Nezik. And the Ibamu'ud, and if it's Toma Shur Amu'ud, well, then that's also hard to understand. Because Ida Avdi Leishmira, if they did a full-fledged watching of the Shahr and something happened beyond their control where it broke out at during nighttime or robbers broke open the gates where it was being held in, and that's why you're saying that in such a case, although it's a Shahr Amud, they're going to be exempt, the owners of the Cher Shait Bekatan, from paying Nezek Shalom, but then they shouldn't have to pay anything, not even Chatzin Nezek. And if they didn't do a full-fledged watching, well, then kuli nezik vayishlumi, then they should have to pay nezik shalom, because it's a shara mu'ud, not just chatzi nezik. So how do we understand this halacha that he's saying regarding this case that we're discussing of cher shait of a cotton, that a gore, that it pays chatzi nezik? Why would it ever be chatzi nezik? If it's tam, of course, we have to say that. If it's mu'ud, then it shouldn't be. It should either be exempt or nezik shalom. So Amar Rava, Rava says, lo'ilam b'mu'ud. Truthfully, it's talking about by shara mu'ud. Now, so then we wondered, so why would it ever be Chatzin Nezek? So he says, V'hacha Ma'eskin, and what we're talking about over here in the case of Rabbi Yaakov is the Avdi Shmira Pechusa, where they did a Shmira, but a lesser type of a watching, which is, as the Gemara explains later on, where they closed the door, what's called Kuro, appropriately, which the Gemara says in Avnon Heim Abeis, which means, say, a door that could withstand a common wind, that's called Kuro, that's called appropriately. Now, however, it's still considered a Shmir Pechusa, a lesser type of a watching, because in contrast to a Ruach She'ein Mitzvah, if a really strong wind comes, it would break down the door and then the ox would just go out and then it would cause damage. So they did a Shmir Pechusa, but V'loy Avdili Shmir Me'ula. They didn't do the highest level type of a watching possible. Now, it was regarding that halacha that Rabbi Yaakov had to tell us that now they're going to pay Chatzin Nezek and not Nezek Shalom. Now, the reason for that is because it's excluding from different Tannaic opinions, which are mentioned at the end of the parak, that there is an opinion that in this situation, actually, they're going to be exempt. And there are opinions that hold in this situation, you have to pay Nezek Shalom. So it's regarding this that Rabbi Yaakov is coming to teach us that it's going to be Chatzin Nezek. Why? Because Savala Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amad that he says, Sad Thomas bim Kaimai Medes. Rabbi Yehuda holds that every time a Shahr that starts off as a Tam, and that's why it's Chatzin Nezek, becomes a Shahr Amud, it doesn't change from a category of Tam to totally being a Mu'ud. It actually maintains its status of Tam for Chatzin Nezek. This that it pays now Nezek Shalom, the other half, is because it's an additional, besides the half of Shahr Tam, it becomes the other half becomes a Shahr Amud, but it still maintains its status of Tamas on the first half of the Nezek, and it just adds on another half. Moreover, Vesavalik Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to the Amma that Rabbi Yehuda says at the end of the Parakad of Memheim Abeis, that Mu'id, Sagile Bishmir Pechusa. Regarding the halacha of Ashura Mu'id, it's enough to just do this lesser type of Bishmir, to just be concerned for a Ruach Mitzuya, but not a Ruach She'en Mitzuya. And that's because, as the Gemara there will explain, Rabbi Yehuda learns that out from the extra Psukim over there. And therefore, in this case that we're discussing, where Rabbi Yaakov is talking about a case where they did a Shmir Pechusa, so regarding the Mu'id part, you're going to be putter from the other half of the damages, which is the Nezek Shalom part. Now, however, but regarding the Chatzin Nezek part, there's still going to be a liability. Whereas the Gemara there says later on that, as recorded the first half, the first halacha that Rabbi Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, is because Rabbi Yehuda only exempts through the Shmir Pechusa the half, the second half, which is the Mu'id half. But the first half, what's called Tamas half, the Chatzin Nezek half, that's B'mkoy Memedes, that maintains that halacha of the Shahr Tam. Now actually, ironically, the Shahr Tam part is not enough for Shmir Pechusa, and that's because that doesn't have extra psukim to teach us that halachic exception of being enough for the Shmir Pechusa. Now, that's why this is going to be the halacha of Chatzin Nezek. Now there's still a third variable. Although that Chatzin Nezek, that Rabbi Yaakov is saying that you're going to be liable for the Tzad Tamas, but that Tzad Tamas, the part of Tam, is collected migufa. It's only collected from the body of the Shahr itself. Now, that's not a problem, because although generally we do not collect from Yisayimim migufa, from Metatlin, from the body of the Shahr Hamazik, but on that third halacha, the Sovel HaKrabbanon, that Rabbi Yaakov Hozak Drabbanon, who disagree with Sumchas that we mentioned before, the army that they say, Mamidin Apotropos Litam Ligvis Megufa, they disagree with the halacha of our Mishnah. They say that we appoint an Apotropos for the assignment not just for it becoming a mood, but even for the collection of the Shahr Tam to collect from the body of the Shahr itself, and that's how you can have this halacha Chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov in the case of a mood and collecting only Chatzin Nezek, again, because of these three halachas, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Tzad Tamas B'mkayim Medes. Moreover, for the mu'ud part, you don't have to, you're not liable for it because it's enough for the shmir pechuso, which was done. And although you're collecting for the tzad tamis, which is b'mekayim emedis, and that's collected migufa, and generally you don't collect from orphans, he agrees to the rabban and they hold that you do appoint an apotropos letam legvis migufa, and that's where you could collect the chatzi nezek from the shar of the chereshet v'kot in the case when it's a mu'ud. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaya. Abaya asks on this approach of the Gemara, V'loi plegi? You just explained that, how do you explain Rabbi Yaakov's halacha? He's following the path of Rabbi Huda. But that asks Abaya, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Huda do not disagree? How could you say Rabbi Yaakov is following Rabbi Huda's opinion? But V'tanya learned the Brisa, and this exact case that we just described, seemingly that same exact case, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yaakov are actually in disagreement. The Brisa says, Sher shel cheresh shayta b'kat shenagach, regarding the ox of a deaf, mute, a mentally deranged, and a minor that gores, Rabbi Huda holds that there is a liability, which seemingly sounds like Nezek Shalom, because Rabbi Yaakov, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, chatzi Nezek u'de mishalom, only pays chatzi Nezek, which that was the halacha of Rabbi Yaakov we just quoted before. So how can you say he's following Rabbi Huda when Rabbi Huda himself disagrees and says it's going to be Nezek Shalom? So Amar Rabba Ba'ule says, no, that's not a difficulty. Masha Mechayev Rabbi Huda, this that in the Braisa, Rabbi Huda was quoted as saying that the Cheresh Shayt B'Katan are going to be liable, is what's Pirush Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was explaining that this Rabbi Huda held that you're going to be liable, explains Rabbi Yaakov that is going to be Chatzi Nezek, as we just explained that just before how that halacha comes about, and therefore it's not a difficulty. They're not disagreeing. Rabbi Yaakov is just explaining Rabbi Huda. Now, asks the Gemara, Ulabaya Doma Pligi, according to Abaya's question on this answer, that he said, the way he was learning the Braisa, that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Huda disagree, so the question is, but my pligi, then actually regarding what are they in disagreement about? As Rashi explains, if you would say the case of the Braisa is Tumat Asher Tam, then Rabbi Huda wouldn't say there's going to be a liability, as Abaye was seemingly interpreting the Braisa, of Nezek Shalom, because it's just a Tam. Whoever is Mechayev Nezek Shalom. And if it's a Asher Hamu'ed, and what was done was a Shmir Pechusa, a lesser type of a watching, but the problem is, we just quoted before that Rabbi Huda's halacha is that even by a share of a pekeach of a regular person, not just a chereshet of a katan, there's only going to be a liability of chatzin nezik and not more than that. Because on the mu'ud part, you're actually exempt by doing a shmir pechusa. And if the case would be talking about that the chereshet of a katan, they didn't watch it at all, so then what would be the reason of Rabbi Yaakov? That would be just chatzin nezik, should have to be nezik shalom. Because it's a share of mu'ud that no one watched at all. So Amalach, so the Gemara answers, Abaye would tell you, Hachmai Iskina, what are we talking about over here in this Braisa, that they are in disagreement, and that's why he didn't like the Gemara's answer, is B'mu'id V'leinatri Klal. It would be talking about a Shara Mu'id that no one watched at all. So Rabbi Huda would be very well understood. That's why there's going to be a liability of Nezik Shalom. Half will be collected min Aliyah, which is the Mu'id part, from the best, the choice parts of the estate. And the other half would be collected migufoi from the animal itself. The reason being is because as we quoted before, we say from Rabbi Yehuda that whenever you have an animal that's a tam becomes a mu'ud, the tzad tamis retains its halacha of tam, and therefore you have to collect from the body of the shar itself. Now, although here you don't have owners that are b'nei das, but that's, as we said before, that as the opinion of the Rabbanan, that we appoint an apotropos for a tam to collect from the body of the animal from its tzad tamis of it. That's what Rabbi Hud would hold. That's why, according to Abai's interpretation, he would hold Yechayv Nezek Shalom. Now, Rabbi Yaakov, however, Savolok Rabbi Hud B'chada, the reason why he holds is only Chatzin Nezek, is because he holds Rabbi Hud in one area, but Upalgala B'chada, but says Abai, he disagrees with him in another area, which is, Savak Rabbi Hud B'chada, you're right, Rabbi Yaakov holds Rabbi Hud in one area, where the Ila Rabbi Hud Savar, because you're right, whereas Rabbi Hud holds Tzad Thomas B'mkoymai Medes, that it's regarding that Rabbi Yaakov agrees that when a shur tam becomes a shur amu'id, it doesn't just change and now it's totally looked at as a mu'id. It's considered like half tam and half mu'id. That retains, and that collection of the chatzin nezik, the first chatzin nezik, will still be collected only from the animal itself. Now, however, but it's actually because of that Rabbi Yaakov holds that you're only going to pay chatzin nezik because the part of the tamis of the animal is the part that's not going to be collected from the chereshet of a katan. Because he disagrees with him in one area, whereas because the Ila Rabbi Huda Sava Mamidlan Apatrabis Latam Ligvis Maguva, because whereas Rabbi Huda holds, like the Rabbanan that disagree with Sumchas, that say that we do appoint an Apatrabis for the Chereshet of a Katan, even for when it's a Sharatam to collect from the body, from the Metatlan of the Yisaimim, But Rabbi Yaakov Savar ein mamidin. Rabbi Yaakov holds like the Tana of our Mishnah, that we do not appoint an apotropos for the collection of the tam megufay. And therefore, says Abaya, what is Rabbi Yaakov's opinion? The Chatzin Nezik is because it's only the muid part that's being collected from the Chesed of a Katan. Because actually the Tzad Thomas that is Bimkoy Maimedis cannot be collected because we do not appoint an apotropos, and therefore there's no owner here to collect from. There's no one to warn because they're Chesed of a Katan. They don't have Das, and we do not appoint an apotropos according to Rabbi Yaakov, according to this interpretation of Abaya. So therefore Abaya would make sense in the way he was asking on the Gemara's interpretation that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda disagree. Now the Gemara continues and asks, based on the discussion that we just had in this Machlekes and the Abaya and Rava, how to interpret the previous brisa of Rabbi Yaakov, the Gemara asks, Omelir of Acha bar Abaya l'Ravina. It says, Bishlim l'Abaya, it's very well understood according to the interpretation of Abaya. The Omar Pligi, that he said that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, they disagree, and that's how he was asking on Rava's interpretation, that it was Rabbi Yaakov following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where he said, how can you say that when the Braisa says that they disagree? Which the Gemara had answered for Rava that they don't disagree, that Rabbi Yaakov was just explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But according to Abaya, they held that they do disagree. So says Rav Acha bar Abaya, Shaper, it makes sense why, as the Gemara had previously explained, we explained that previous Braisa told about a case of a Muad. Reason being, according to Abaya, is because you can't explain in the case of Tam, to explain, as we had, that we appointed apotropos for a Tam. Because according to Abaya, we learned from the second Braisa from Rabbi Yaakov that he holds that we're not meeting apotropos for a Tam, Ligvis Megufoy. So therefore, Abaya has to say that an explanation of the first brisa is talking about by a muid that wasn't watched at all, and the Chatzin Nezik is actually coming on the Chatzin Nezik of the muid part, because actually the Chatzin Nezik of the Thomas, which is B'mkoy Maimedis, is not collected, which is exactly how we just explained for Abaya. But El Rava, the Amal Loi Pligi, but according to Rava, as we had answered for him, that Rabbi Yaakov is following exactly Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and they do not disagree. In other words, Rabbi Yaakov holds that we are Mamid Napotropos Latam, Ligvois Megufoy. We appoint an apotropos not just to make it into a mood, but even for it to collect from the first three times Chatzin Nezek from Megufoy. So then asks the Gemara, Ade Mukila. So instead of explaining the first Braisa, which started off this whole discussion of Rabbi Yaakov, B'mu'id in the case of Mu'id, which we explained how there's three different halachas, Rabbi Yaakov has to be going like two like Rabbi Yehuda and one like Rabban of Sumchas, which makes it into the Chiyav of Chatzin Nezek. On that asks the Gemara, why do you have to say it's talking about a Mu'id? Nukma B'tam, you could explain that it's talking about by a Shur Tam, as we continue on top of Memam and Aleph. And that is, according to whichever pin you go like, you'll have a way of explaining the halach of Rabbi Yaakov. And that is either Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, if you say that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda that says, as brought later on, that by a tam, it's not enough by a shmir pechusa. It's only a muid that it's enough for shmir pechusa, but a tam not. So it would be told by a case, the avalei shmir pechusa, the avalei shmir meula, that it was only done a lesser level shmir, not a higher level shmir. And since it's talking about a tam, which Rabbi Yehuda holds is not enough, even though he holds it's enough by muid, it's not enough by a tam. So it's a tam. That's why you can be chayv chatzin nezek. And either Belezer ben Yaakov, and even if you say your Yaakov is like your Belezer ben Yaakov, who he says that even by a tam it's enough to watch it with a shmir pechusa, so it'd be talk matdeloy of the shmir klal that he didn't watch it at all, and since he didn't watch it at all, so that's why it's going to be a chiyuv of chatzin nezek. The Tanya, like William the Braisa, Belezer ben Yaakov Eimer, he holds echad tam ve echad muid, whether the animal's a tam or a muid, shasham and shmir pechusa, but he holds that even if it's a tam and also a muid, if you did it lesser, like what's called a shmir karo, which is just for ruach metzuya, you are going to be exempt. So according to either one, you could find the case that you'll describe Rabbi Yaakov in the case of a tam and being chayv chatzin nezek. V'hol kamashim and Rabbi Yaakov. Now the original question that started this whole thing off was, well, if it's talking about a tam, well, that's what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov telling us chatzin nezek? Of course, why should a chesher of a cotton be any different than any regular person? So that's why we said that it can't be talking about a tam, and we entered this whole discussion that it's a muad and how it ends up being that a muad is going to be chatzin nezek, how Rav had explained. Then asked the Gemara, why? The whole kamashim and Yaakov, we could say it's talking about a tam, and what would Rabbi Yaakov be teaching us a chiddush? The chiddush would be exactly that there is going to be a liability of chatzin nezek. What does that mean? Why not? because you would think that actually a Cheresh Shaita B'Katan would be exempt even from the Tamas of Chatzin Nezek, because they themselves have no Das, there's no B'huad B'Balam, and they're exempt. On that, the Cheder should be that no, that you do appoint, which is not like the Tana of HaMishnah, which would be like Sumchas, that you do appoint an Apotropos even for the Halach of collecting Chatzin Nezek from the Tam Megufoy. And that would be why the Tana Rabbi Yaakov said specifically, not just Rabbi Yaakov Mechayev, but actually Mechayev Chatzin Nezek, to tell you this halacha, that you shouldn't think that he's talking about by the case of a muid, and that it's talking about nezik shalom, but you would think, because in regards to tam, that maybe even chatzi nezik wouldn't be chayv, because ein mamid l'mabatrabas, that would be what the chiddush would be, that Rabbi Yaakov is telling us, by the case of tam, that there is going to be a chiv chatzi nezik, because you are mamid l'mabatrabas, even l'tam, likvis m'gufay. So why according to Rava, does he has to say it's talking about a case of muid? According to Abaya, as we just explained, it has to be a case of muid. Because that's exactly where the only chiyuv is, according to Rabbi Yaakov, is on the tzad muid. But according to Rava, who holds, Rabbi Yaakov holds like a Behuda, that the liability is on the tzad tamas, then why go to muid when you could say the halacha, even in the case of tam? So that Amalei Ravina answered him. He says, you're right. But hachikama, this is what Rava was talking about. Chad de isbe tarti taima. He was saying one halacha that has two reasons, two chidushim in it. And that is, since Rava holds that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda do not disagree, they hold the same halacha, and that Rabbi Yaakov is just explaining Rabbi Yehuda, that's why Rava explained the case of Rabbi Yaakov in the first brice, in the case of a muid, where it was only watched with a shmir pechusa. Because then you could learn from that halacha of Rabbi Yaakov two halachas. One, first of all, the Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda that it's enough for the part of the muid of it with a shmir pechusa, and therefore for that you're actually exempt. And it's only regards the Tzad Tamas that's been claimed by Medes, and that it's regards to that that Rabbi Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that that would not be enough with a Shmir Pachus, and that's actually on that half that you're going to be liable for. And the second Chiddush, so that's a Chiddush in the Halacha of Muad, and then there's another Chiddush in the Halacha of Tam, which is that we are Mamid Napatrapas Latam, Ligvis Megufay, which that's the actually the Chatzin Nezik that you're collecting from. And that's why Rava explained it in the case of Muad, just because then you get two for the price of one. You get two chidushim in one halacha, whereas if we said in Tam, you would only know one chidush of Mamidna Apotropos Latam Ligvis Megufoy, and you wouldn't know the other halacha of Muad, that you don't, that there is no liability for a Shmir Pechusa, and that Tzad Tamas B'Mekayim Medes, that which are two halachas of Behuda, that you only know when you say it in halacha of Muad. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by giving another answer for Abaye's original question. The original question was, how could Rava say that Rabbi Yaakov's the explanation of his halacha is following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, but we have a braisa that says that they disagree? So the first answer the Gemara gave was that no, they're not disagreeing, it's Rabbi Yaakov explaining Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina, he gives a different answer for Rava. Says, you're right, they are disagreeing, but they're disagreeing about something else, not regarding the halacha of Rabbi Yaakov in the previous braisa, and it's actually regarding that. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Yaakov regarding this halacha of Mamid l'mabatrabas ligvois megufay. And that is, Ravina says, Rishus mishana ikabeinayu. The difference between Rabbi Yaakov and Yehuda in that braisa is talking about a different halacha. It's talking about the change of domain, which is, going to have a muid. The case that they're discussing is, for example, where the animal was a muid. V'nispakiach ha-cheresh. And then the cheresh, the deaf mute, was able to talk and hear. And then later on, the mentally deranged person became sane. Vehikla caught in the mind and became an adult. And that is what Rabbi Yehuda saw. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it maintains the chazakah, which is that when the apotropos had taken over in the interim, it had become a muad. So therefore, even now when the owners take over, if the animal gores again, he has to pay nezik shalom. Why? The half from mikufai, because the tzad tamas has been claiming medis, as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. And the other half is min aliyah, like any tam that becomes a muad. But that's why when he says Rabbi Yehuda is mechayiv, which if you hold that they're disagreeing, which this answer is saying, is nezik shalom. Yeah, it's nezik shalom because it was a muad already and it doesn't go back to tamas by the change of domain. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov Sav, Rishus Mishana, he holds like those opinions that the change of domain does change it from its a muad down to a tamas. And that's why he says it's only going to be chatzin nezik because now it's a tam. But again, that doesn't disprove or that's a challenge on Rava's interpretation because they're not talking about the halacha of the apotropos of imamid and tam ligvois mikufay. Regarding that halacha, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Yaakov as Rava had explained that you are collecting for tam mikufay. this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing is on a different halacha. It's regarding the halacha of Rishus Mishana. And that's a second answer how to explain the brisa that Abayad asked from, either again that Rabbi Yaakov is explaining Rabbi Yehuda, or that they're disagreeing on a different halacha regarding the halacha of Rishus Mishana.